relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
But this is a coup of sorts. We've never seen this in this country. This is a legitimate election, a fair election. Joe Biden has won the election. And every other year in the modern history of the country, the losing presidential candidate would have called, would have conceded. Everyone would have acknowledged it, and on we go. That's what we do in America. So this is an outrageous situation.
That's not what Hillary Clinton did, Steve Schmidt of the fascists at the Lincoln Project. Do you remember she sent out little old Podesta because she didn't want to give a concession speech? I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, and we have an antidote for you. You've seen it. Some of the best Americans are losing steam. They're questioning the future, but not our guest for the third hours opening. He is the president of the Security Studies Group. He hung out for several years in a place called Fort Bragg for a reason, and that's why he's written a new field manual, The Myth of White Fragility. Jim Hansen, welcome back to America First.
Good to be with you, Seb.
Great to have you in studio. I said, get him back in the studio because of what he tweeted just 8 hours ago. Fabulous little video you did, a fabulous little tweet. Talk to us about, you used the phrase before you came on, wholesale versus retail voter fraud. And what does that mean in terms of, mail-in ballots?
We got a huge problem with mail-in ballots. First time we've done this. And the president pointed it out before the election, and nobody wanted to do anything about it. So what we're looking at now is we got people looking at the problems, and they're picking up shoplifters in the store who are stealing a shirt.
Meaning one ballot here, exactly. One ballot there.
While the Democrat mob has that truck backed up to the loading dock, and they're shoving the entire inventory out the back door. They let pretty much every mail-in ballot that was presented in Pennsylvania, in Wisconsin, in the swing states go in. The numbers of rejected ballots dropped by sometimes 3 times, up to 10 times their historical norms. So normally if you had a rejection rate of 1.5% or up to 10%, now all of those states are under 1% rejection rates. And that's absurd.
So let me break this down. For those who haven't read what was published at justthenews.com on Monday, Daniel Payne, let's post it now. Rate of rejected mail-in ballots almost 30 times lower in Pennsylvania this year than in 2016. We'll put it on our Twitter feed. We'll put it on our Facebook page. Glenn Beck purloined or borrowed that data and did a really good video that we showed in the earlier part of the show. So here's the math, or here's the problem. Mail-in ballots have been used before, but never on the scale that we did this time, with 80 million sent out to voters unbidden. This isn't absentee voting. This is just governors, secretaries of state sending them out. Usually, because you can make mistakes because we're humans, and ballot forms can be complicated, a lot of little dots, little circles to fill in, lots of questions. There is a rejection rate on average of, let's say between 1 and 3% in Pennsylvania. And now we're seeing a fraction of that number of ballots being rejected for being faulty in a much bigger election where millions of people have never voted by ballot before in the mail. And we're supposed to believe the rejection rate is now magically less with more people doing it and more people doing it for the first time. That's what you mean by wholesale fraud, correct? Correct?
Yeah, it's absurd. And that you giving it the best case scenario is that these were mistakes. Yeah. The largest thing that has gotten ballots rejected historically has been signature problems, right. Mismatches and others. A signature mismatch is not a mistake.
Yes.
A signature mismatch is fraud.
Meaning that when these ballots come in through the mail, you've got to check, unless, you know, you're Virginia and a month before the election, the governor, you know, Ralph Northam, the butcher of Richmond, says, no, we're not doing... Who needs to verify if that ballot's actually filled in by the person whose name is on the front of it? No, we're not going to do that. But in general, you have to check that the signature, which in many cases has to be witnessed, the signature on the mail-in ballot matches with the voter's signature as recorded on the ballot roster, the ballot tally of that state in question. And if it doesn't match, you see the rejection rates, correct?
And it's probably not the person who was signed up on the rolls who signed it.
Right.
Because that's a well-established science, and they have procedures for doing it, and they have multiple people look at it, and they all have to agree before a ballot's rejected. Pennsylvania decided, the Secretary of State of Pennsylvania sent out guidance saying do not reject any ballots for signature mismatch or signature missing. That means we have, these are anonymous ballots, Seb. I mean, the second you stop doing that, that's the only thing we have proving
right.
Who that is. So we've got anonymous ballots, and not just a few. If you look at it, that's a couple million ballots. Even if it's, you know, a couple of percent of those that are a problem, we're talking about several hundred thousand votes that are probably going out the window, and the GOP filed a lawsuit, and it brings up all these points.
So
it's outstanding.
You came in here very, very, you said you've been going up and down a little bit like a roller coaster. Your mood has been a little bit, you know, up and down. But today you said you came in here and you looked very, very optimistic. You're feeling good. Why? Talk to us about what's happening in PA.
In PA, they documented all this. All right, you know, the media has been taking every place the GOP filed a lawsuit. They're like, oh, we found one affidavit from this weird guy who said his cousin didn't get to vote. All right, and then right. They feature that. We debunked it. You know, that's their debunking theory. This time in Pennsylvania, they've got the Secretary of State's statements telling all of the clerks to do something in violation of Pennsylvania law, meaning that every vote they let in like that is invalid. And that's in the lawsuit. It's documented, and they're asking for not a recount, a re-canvas and an audit to go ahead and look at whether those ballots should ever have been let in, and they should not have. Now, we want every legal vote counted,
right?
But a lot of these are not, and that's why we have rules. You know, you can't just say just because we found a bunch of ballots and we want to make democracy bigger, bigger's not better, all right? You have to have as many legal ballots as we can find, counted, and then pick a winner. If we'd use 2018's rules and percentages, President Trump would be looking at about 300 electoral votes right now. So those lawsuits are going to point
that out.
Explain
that, unpack that map.
Because if you look at the percentages of votes that were admitted that were probably have been rejected
in
2018.
So if we use the regular average for attrition in terms of spoiled ballots or rejected ballots, if we apply that to this year, he would have how many?
300 plus, easily. And that's just, and 2018 was only 2 years ago. It's not like the world changed, like you
right.
said. It's not like everybody learned suddenly how to do this. So those standards, or even if we go somewhere in between them, if we split the difference between 2018 and 2020, Trump's president for a second term.
So what you're saying is what you've read in the case or what was built by the campaign in Pennsylvania is solid.
It's the best. I've read all their lawsuits, read the affidavits, read that stuff in the other states. And the other states are good, and these same things are going to apply in those other states. But the Pennsylvania lawsuit has all of the things we just talked about
in there.
Documented in there, and they're going to have to rule on it. And how do you rule against that? You can't say, well, it's okay for the Secretary of State to change Pennsylvania law because Trump. No, you know, that's not legal.
But come on, you're a former WEPS guy. You're a Green Beret guy. You have cynicism running in your veins, okay? It's part of the, you know, the course. Do you not think, well, this is Pennsylvania. It's corrupt.
Of course it's corrupt. We know it's corrupt. The problem is now we're going to have people looking at it in broad daylight.
Okay.
And if you know, okay,
but the mainstream media is not going to be looking at it the way we are or you are.
Who cares? They no longer. They can change the narrative. they can't change the facts in a courtroom. And when that when those rulings happen, if they don't happen properly in Philly, they don't happen properly then at the Supreme Court in Pennsylvania, well, guess what? We go to the Supremes and they make a ruling. And I don't see how anyone could look at this and say anonymous ballots should be counted.
I know somebody who could.
Okay, I don't
Chief
count.
Justice Roberts.
Well, we've got 5-4 even minus him.
Because what he did in the last 6 weeks here in America was an absolute travesty, an outrage.
It could have stopped a lot of this.
Absolutely. The fact that he didn't even decline. He just played the clock out, and he said, we're not going to decide on this, and we're going to semi-recuse Amy and commingling. I'm not going to comment on commingling. The idea that Justice Alito, in his other capacity as a circuit justice, as a circuit judge, had to order Pennsylvania not to commingle the late ballots when Chief Justice Roberts refused to take action, tells you, I mean, just truly, I mean, in an age of lack of precedence, that is unprecedented when a Supreme Court Associate Justice uses his power as a circuit judge to say, this stinks, and I'm going to stop it. Follow this man right now. He's Uncle Jimbo. Jim Hansen, D.C., president of the Security Studies Group, and also the author, most recently, of a field manual like none I've ever read. It's called The Myth of White Fragility. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting across the nation to hundreds of stations, millions of listeners, as well as YouTube. We just broke 21 million views. If you're watching us on YouTube, hit the like button and make sure you subscribe. And don't forget the notifications bell twice. Back with Jim in a second.
Deepest voice in talk radio, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Thank you, Deep Voice Dave. I think I have to have some cigars tonight to get to your baritone levels. Do you know who Katie Hobbs is? She actually managed to get the Twitter account Katie Hobbs, which is impressive. Check it out, Katie Hobbs. She's the Secretary of State for Arizona. Why am I mentioning this? Because this is one of her tweets. At Real Donald Trump has made it abundantly clear he's more interested in pandering to his neo-Nazi base than being POTUS for all Americans. Okay, so do you understand? Do you understand the enormity of the challenge? The woman who certifies the election in Arizona, who makes sure that everything is hunky-dory, thinks that 71 million Americans are neo-Nazis. Let's talk about what this all means with our guest in studio. He is known as Uncle Jimbo. He is the author of a fabulous new concept. It is a field manual like no other. He is the man behind the Security Studies Group.
Yep.
Group, and you can follow him, Jim Hansen, DC. I've been arguing. Oh, let's do this first. There is a national security giant. I'm sure you follow all of her work, called Mika Brzezinski. Okay. And this is her latest bombo, her contribution to the national security and political debate in the United States. Video cut 4.
And I worry this president will have quite a party with all of this information that he learned as president when he leaves office. That is, unless, Willie, certain sections of law enforcement come after him.
Certain, as a national security professional who's had clearances, what does it mean? Certain sections of law enforcement come after the president. Haven't they been doing that for 4 years?
They've been doing that for long. Yeah, 5 years if you count the transit. What's she talking, jackbooted Nazi thugs scarfing Trump up because he was president and he knows stuff?
Exactly.
That's obscene, even for her. Bravo. And thank you for saying that, you moron.
And by the way, this is a woman whose father was a national security advisor talking about the police removing the president, who, by the way, 71. Did I say 71 million people voted for him? Removing him from office. Okay. Now, you have worn the cloth of the Republic. You've been a Green Beret. And you are taught that war isn't just about, you know, how much lead you put down range. It's not just about the kinetic. For Green Berets, it is as much the indirect. It is the intangible. It is the will of the enemy. In this war, you've just mentioned a very impressive case the campaign has brought in Pennsylvania, where everything is documented, the wholesale fraudulent activity in elections, which is great. That's the steal on target. Talk to us, if you will, please, Jim. How is the campaign, how is the White House doing in the information, let's say the MISO, what is that awful phrase Brad came up with? Military Information Support Operation. Let's talk about PSYOP.
MISO soup. Let's just not go there.
It's soup.
It's
soup.
Information warfare.
Okay. It's information warfare.
And it's important.
The truth is on our side. Yeah. But what do we need to be doing better in terms of the information battlefield, Jim? Yeah.
Less anecdotal stories of my grandmother got pushed out of line and didn't get to vote.
Right.
More explanations, short, sharp, vicious, about what the wholesale fraud was.
The broad stuff, the
broad
big
stuff.
Numbers.
And yeah, because we're not going to win by picking up a few votes here and there. We need to pick up a couple hundred thousand.
Yes.
But they're there. They're sitting there. And they need to point that out, because right now people don't know that for certain.
And what does the commander-in-chief have to do? What's his role? Because, you know, we heard very early on, like right after the election, leading conservative voices say, he's not a candidate anymore. He needs to get back to being president. My argument was, excuse me, has the Electoral College met? Have the votes been verified? Of course not. He's both candidate and president. What would you like to hear? Let's say, what is it, Thursday? What should come out of, forget Friday. Friday is the memory hole day. What needs to come out of the White House Saturday or Monday?
I'd like to hear President Trump not talk about this election, talk about the next one. All right, because the things that were done this time, if we don't stop them and show them for what they were, which is wholesale fraud and election thieving, then we're going to be stuck with the Democrats being able to get away by dumping tons of anonymous ballots into a system because they're not checking the validity. He needs to say that's something that the American people can't tolerate going forward, or we no longer have a democracy. We have a kleptocracy.
So make this about the future, not November the 3rd.
Exactly. Both. And he can do both, because he deserves. He can say, look, we absolutely have to end this election, and we can't do that. We can't put this in the books until we know how many votes were there. If potentially millions nationwide of invalid votes were included because the Democrats stopped checking bail-in ballots for validity, then we need to know that, pull those out, get a real count, and find out who won.
Right.
I have a feeling he's going to be happy with that result, and so will all of us 71 million.
Who really won is the question we have to answer right now. And guys, if you haven't done so already, let your voice be heard. We have a petition right now. It is verifytheelection.com. Put your name to it. You can go through my website, sebgorka.com. Tell the left, tell the media, you will not allow this election to be stolen. S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com. Hit the tab at the top of the page for our Verify the Election petition. Also, if you're in D.C., if you're in Northern Virginia, if you're in Maryland, 12 o'clock, Freedom Plaza in D.C. this Saturday is going to be the MAGA rally to make sure they don't steal the election. I'll be talking there. Join us. Come here. Put that MAGA hat on. Get your MAGA on. Come to Freedom Plaza, 12 o'clock midday, Saturday, D.C. Don't let them get away with it. 2 minutes left with Jim Hansen, president of the Security Studies Group.
Should I bring paint? Can we paint a mural? Isn't that fair? Isn't that how? Are you allowed to?
Well, doesn't
like
the other side burn stuff down?
The other side might be, we'll let them. I don't mind if they burn some stuff.
What should we paint?
Let's just paint MAGA. Let's
MAGA.
Do a giant
let's have
MAGA
a MAGA Boulevard.
Yeah.
MAGA Boulevard. Okay. See, the guy's a troublemaker. Last question I have for you, Jim. When we look at the challenge going forward, what is the role of Americans, not just in Philadelphia or in Nevada or in Arizona? The left goes onto the street at the drop of a hat. Isn't it time now to just let your love of country be known?
Oh, I think we have to. And I think we have to figure out a place where we can do that that is not Facebook or Twitter, unfortunately.
Yes.
Because those places are now the gulag that is part of the propaganda machine.
Well, Parler's exploding, right?
Parler's exploding. It's blowing up. And we need that. And we need to, all conservatives need to consider the next time this happens, they're going to start shutting us down earlier and trying to keep us quiet.
Yes.
And you can't go out on, if we go out on the street and no one knows about it, what's the point? So we need to fight back in the information space again. By number one, if Trump wins, we need to scorch Silicon Valley flat and salt the frickin' earth out there. But if he doesn't, we need to build platforms that will support our voices and not let us be shut down.
It's not just about winning in the tangible world. It is winning, I think I've heard this phrase before, hearts and minds. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. We've been talking to Jim Hansen. Follow him, Jim Hansen DC. And if you are watching us on YouTube, hit the like button. If you're not, why not? I'm Sebastian Gorka. Next, Andrew Klavan, the galactic master of the multiverse. Don't touch that dial. FDNY firefighter Stephen Silver gave his life while saving others on 9/11. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. I'm asking you to support this cause that's committed to honoring our nation's heroes and ensuring people never forget 9/11. Help Tunnel to Towers to do good. Donate $11 a month at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. T2T.org. Thank you.
I'm the Hunky Dunky. Life is tickety-boo. Birds are winging, also singing Hunky Dunky-Doo. Ship-shape, tipsy-topsy. The world is zippity-zing. It's a wonderful day. Hurrah, hooray.
It makes me want to sing. Oh, hurrah, hooray.
Relax, relax. You have not tuned in to the wrong program. This is still America First with me, your favorite legal immigrant, Sebastian Gorka. But I just love that tune so much, especially the cartoon that goes with it. I couldn't resist. I was going to ask him to actually sing it for me live. Maybe next time. We are, of course, so excited to have with us the grand galactic master of all known multiverses. He is Andrew Klavan of The Andrew Klavan Show, The Daily Wire, author of Another Kingdom and so many other remarkable things, the great good thing being his autobiography. Grandmaster Drew, welcome back.
Great to see you. How are you?
Good, good. I have to say, it is such a treat not only to watch you always laugh through your pre-title credit monologues. I think, you know, 9 out of 10 times you laugh at the stuff you write yourself, which is so endearing. And then to see that cartoon of you singing with your troops and then the final shot hitting the sign is just superlative. Guys, you got to watch this. He has a new YouTube channel. Follow him, Andrew Klavan Show. Get the podcast. Okay, let's get down to work. You are a fan of the president, but you're a complete straight shooter. You will call balls. You will, you know, hits and strikes as fairly as anyone I've ever seen out there. Give us the galactic grandmaster's take of the last 9 days in America.
Well, you know, unfortunately, the election turned out pretty much as I was predicting, not as the polls were predicting. But as I have been predicting for 4 years, I've always seen Donald Trump as a sort of tragic hero. And here's why I say that. When I say tragic, that doesn't just mean sad. It means caught between two paths. It required a guy as ferocious as Donald Trump, as pugilistic as Donald Trump, to break the grip of the globalist media, this corrupt media that has surrounded us with lies. And it required a guy with his thick skin and as tough as he is to stand up to their attacks. because who wants to be called racist and sexist and all the things that they've called him and all of us? I mean, all of us, we get called this stuff, and he stood up to it and he was that guy. But the tragic part of it is that personality is in fact alienating to a lot of Americans. And I've been saying this for a while, that if he could have dialed it back just a little bit, if he could have kept it just a little bit off him, the focus a little bit off himself, he would not have alienated as many people as he did. His ratings, his likability or favorability ratings never climbed up very high above 50%. Most presidents have hit 60% somewhere along the line. He never did. He was alienating to people who believe in old fashioned, you know, politeness and decorum in the presidency.
You mean being a wuss?
Well, you and I know that the reason he has to be rude is because the Democrats don't have to be rude because all of the media is rude for them.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump was a man alone, and he had to do what the media does for the Democrats for himself. I get it. I'm just saying, I'm just talking pure politics here with you.
I'm just saying,
I think that alienated
people. We're talking to Andrew Klavan. Follow him right now, Andrew Klavan on Twitter. Let me push back for a moment. This is the president who has received more votes than any other president in American history. 10 million more than he did 4 years ago. Is it really a question of his style turned people off, or is it not some kind of concatenation of the China virus and voter fraud?
Well, the China virus really hurt him in the beginning for a personality reason, though. When he started out with those daily briefings, he started talking about how unfairly he was being treated. People at that point were genuinely dying in droves, especially in New York, where Andrew Cuomo messed up so badly that he sent sick people into nursing homes, causing thousands of deaths. When people are dying, when people are afraid, and people were afraid, and the media was making sure they were afraid, it's not a good look to be talking about yourself and how unfairly you're being treated. That was the first time I ever called up some of the people around him and said, you know, if you can reach POTUS, you got to tell him that is not the right thing to be doing at this moment. That was a technique that worked for him because we understood that he stood for us. We understood, look, the media didn't attack Trump because they hated Trump. They attacked Trump because they hate us. That was the truth. But at that moment, when the country was brought together by fear and by not without a lot of knowledge, I think he goofed there. Voter fraud, is there voter fraud? You bet there is. And to watch the media pretend like there is, I don't know if you saw that banner headline in the New York Times the other day, there's absolutely no voter fraud. You know, it's to laugh. But do I hold out a lot of hope that this is going to be reversed in the courts? I don't. You know, I mean, I think that first, because the outcome looks so much like I predicted, I'm wondering how big the fraud was, and was it big enough to turn the election? I think Pennsylvania is his biggest hope. They acted so badly. They acted so cavalierly. They changed the rules. They changed the rules in a way that was against the rules. That's the one place he has a big chance.
And if he focuses, while his lawyers focus on the legal aspect, I think this is a political battle still. We're talking to Andrew Klavan, the author of Another Kingdom, also The Great Good Thing, and many others. You've got to follow him on Twitter at Andrew Klavan, the Andrew Klavan podcast, and the YouTube channel. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, my friends, if you are in pain today and you've tried everything else, you must try this 100% drug-free product that is providing liberation from pain to tens of thousands of Americans right now, including me. Just go to relieffactor.com, order the 3-week quick starter pack. It'll be at your house in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening, just like I do. And at the end of those 3 weeks, I promise you, you will know if it works for you like it works for me and thousands of your fellow Americans. 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. You've waited long enough. Do it now. Back with Andrew Klavan in a moment.
Well, President, President Trump is still refusing to acknowledge the reality that Joe Biden is the president-elect. Even if President Trump were to win those recounts in both Wisconsin and Georgia, it still would not be enough to get him to 270. And the Trump campaign still has not provided any hard evidence of widespread voter fraud in court. Widespread being the key here. And by that, I mean enough to change the outcome of the race in that state.
Somebody has got talking points from the mainstream media smuggled into Fox News headquarters in New York, because that's not a commentator. That's not a talking head guest. That's Kristen Fisher, who's supposed to be one of the journalists, the reporters at Fox News, saying that the president is out of touch with reality and has to admit defeat. We are talking to Andrew Klavan. He is the man, the brains behind the Andrew Klavan Show. There are no E's in Klavan. Let me be clear about this. You've got to read his books. Another Kingdom, the second book, is out now. The Nightmare Feast, as well as The Great Good Thing. Andrew Klavan, the president's relationship to reality, what has the legacy media's relationship to reality been for the last 5 years?
Zero. This is one of the most appalling misuses of information technology I have ever seen. To castigate the Republican Party for not accepting the election of Joe Biden when the count is still to be had and the court challenges are still to go through. And I fully support, by the way, the president's right to challenge this in court. For them to castigate the Republican Party after 4 years of Russian collusion and Ukraine impeachment and Brett Kavanaugh's a rapist, all the nonsense they did to overturn this president, an actual attempt, an actual political attempt at a coup in the Democrat Party, sustained and amplified by the media, for them to turn on the Republicans for demanding essentially a recount on a very, very close election is absurd beyond belief. And the fact that it's happening at Fox News is truly disappointing. What business genius at Fox News decided that the great business model for their future was to betray every principle they stand on and poke every one of their audience in the eye? Where's the genius who came up with that idea for the future of Fox News? Central to what is dividing our country is the news media. There are many people that you and I disagree with, Seb, who we could compromise with and converse with and discuss things with. The media will not let Americans come together in any honest way because they lie and lie. And then when they're finished lying, they lie. And that's all they do.
And what's going to happen? We're talking to Andrew Klavan. Follow him right now at Andrew Klavan. Get on his YouTube channel. Subscribe. Hit the notifications bell. You will not regret it. Andrew, what's going to happen if, say, I don't know, God willing, there are reversals in the counts? The widespread voter fraud is substantiated, and either the courts give legal recourse and remedy to the president, or let's say some state houses and some chief registrars and clerks refuse to certify the votes in key battleground states. What's going to happen in terms of the media coverage of what I can guarantee you will be the violence that ensues?
Well, it's amazing. You know, if you think back, here's the thing. Think back to Bush v. Gore when Bush won Florida, what was it, by 500 plus votes. And after recounting and recounting and talking about hanging chads and doing everything they could to rig the election, the Supreme Court finally said, look, you have followed the law. You have had the recount. You've done what had to be done. This George W. Bush has won this election. The Democrats still don't accept that result. They still think it was stolen from them. And so if that were to happen, if there were to be a reversal, we already know, look, they weren't boarding up their stores in New York and California to protect them against us. They know we're not going to come in and riot. They know we're not going to loot their stores. So they're already worried about the left. The left has used violence for, it's now 6 months almost. They have used violence as a threat. They have used it to extort a victory. They basically have said, you know, we will dance in the streets if we win. We will burn the streets down if we lose. And while they've been doing this, and you know, there's always looters, there's always bad guys, there's always violent people. But the real shame is on people like Chris Cuomo and all the other people who said, oh, these protests are mostly peaceful. which is like saying, you know, I only beat my wife once a year, so our marriage is mostly peaceful. Yeah. No, the minute you start rioting, the minute you start looting, you're the bad guys. You're violent. And these violent protests, of course, they'll continue if there's a reversal. Absolutely.
And what do you say to those who say that, you know, Lindsey Graham's talk and Newt Gingrich's talk, that this is the end of the end, and if we don't fix voter fraud now, there will never, ever be a Republican in the White House? What do you say to those who say, well, that's just, it's just an election. Calm down, guys.
Well, I don't agree with any of either of those propositions. I think it's classic conservatism to think that if we lose this, it's the end of the world. That's classic conservatism. But on the other hand, this has gotten worse and worse. Voter fraud has gotten worse and worse. They played to the chaos. Everything the Democrats did leading up to this election was meant to subtract transparency and add chaos. So if nothing else comes out of these court cases, if I didn't support these court cases for any other reason, I would support them as an instigator to reform. We need to reform. Florida, I think they have two time zones in Florida. They did a great job counting the votes. We got the answers in early and nobody's challenged them. Texas, same thing. Great counting, two time zones, a huge state, got the information in. What is this stuff where we stop counting in the middle of the night and come back the next day? Even if it's honest, it contributes to suspicion. It contributes to national division. This is a modern democracy, one of the most powerful countries on earth. We should be able to vote and trust the outcomes. And that is something the Democrats have worked against because they steal votes.
30 seconds left. Does that mean you're not worried for the future of the republic?
Well, we always have to worry for the future of the republic. Republics never last very long, so I'm always a little worried. But I'm confident right now. You know, these results actually tell us that the country has rejected the far left. They may have rejected Trump. That may turn out to be the case. But they rejected the far left as well. That means we have a lot to talk about going forward and a lot of victories still to win.
My only question, and we're out of time, is the nation may have rejected the far left. But does the far left know that the nation rejected them? We will find out. Follow this man right now at Andrew Klavan. Get all of his books, his podcasts, his wonderful, wonderful products, especially his autobiography, The Great Good Thing. God bless you. He is Andrew Klavan of The Daily Wire. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting across the nation to millions of listeners and viewers right now, live streaming on YouTube, on Facebook. Sign up today, hit the notifications bell, and you won't miss a thing. Are you the healthiest you could be? Come on. Let's be honest. You like a little bit of fried chicken now and again like I do? Cheeseburgers? You've got to behave as much as you can. Enjoy a little bit of a nice steak. I get it, now and again. But when you feel that you have been a naughty boy, how do you make up for it? Take Balance of Nature. Dr. Douglas Howard has formulated this 6 little capsules, 3 red for fruit, 3 green for vegetables, that are the equivalent of 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables, including evil things like kale. Be the healthiest you can be. Get 35% off and free shipping on your first preferred order. Thanks to Dr. Douglas Howard. If you use my name, balanceofnature.com, or call them 800-246-8751. That's balanceofnature.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. Balanceofnature.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. Do it now.
America first. Magnificent.
That is the question, though, isn't it? You heard Drew. And I think he's right. I think in the big scheme of things, the fact that the president got 10 million more votes than he did last time, and that he got more than even Barack Obama or any president in history, is what? Is a sign that his base hasn't gone anywhere. But more than that, that the extreme message of the left has been rejected by America. Because Biden is not the face of the Democrat Party in terms of what the party has become. Even if he says, I am the Democrat Party. Remember that from the second debate? No. Drew is right. But so was my question. The radical left may have been rejected by the American people. But does the radical left recognize that rejection? Does Biden have any power over them? Of course he doesn't. He's not even president-elect. But if you look at the names in the media, the alleged individuals who are negotiating for some position at a cabinet level or an agency level in some putative future Biden administration, they're not mainline Democrats. Are there any mainstream Democrats even left? We're hearing outrageous suggestions, whether it's Treasury, Labor, or elsewhere. And that shows you very clearly that as a political entity, the Democrat Party has lost touch with America. It is now an elitist white party. Yes, the party of AOC and Rashida Tlaib. Look at the map of America. It is an urban, middle, upper class white party. It is the party of white privilege. How ironic is that? The class divide could not be greater. Just look at the votes the president garnered in the black and Hispanic community. The greatest minority support since the 1950s for a GOP candidate. That's the political reality today. So here's my message to you. We don't give up. We don't give in. The president will keep on fighting. We can expect some incredible developments over the next 48 hours and especially at the beginning of next week. And if you are in the vicinity of the swamp, you've got to join us. Freedom Plaza, 12 o'clock midday Saturday in D.C. for our MAGA rally. I will be there. You need to be there. You need to show that you have the president's back and you're not giving up either. Freedom Plaza, 12 o'clock midday, D.C., Saturday, this Saturday. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Never give up. Never give in. Hold the line now more than ever. We do not surrender. Stay frosty, my friends.